Well, I've been banging on and on and on over recent days about not one penny of the 45 million that the health service needed to reduce waiting lists has been given to them by their dear politicians up on the Hill, who are talking about talks, about talking about what they might be able to do within days and deadlines and all of that type of stuff. And the health service, not one penny of the money they needed. And I do not apologise for being repetitive. And now this morning, another story about the health service. More evidence today of a health service under serious pressure. We're now told home care services across Northern Ireland's five health trusts are at breaking point. Now, remember, home care was supposed to be one of the cornerstones of a modern NHS in Northern Ireland. And it's at breaking point, according to the outgoing commissioner, Claire Keating. She says the care being provided to older people in their homes is failing to meet their needs due to underinvestment. She's with us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
How bad is it?
Well, first of all, can I say that thousands of older people receive home care from dedicated, committed care workers, and it really does support them to lead those dignified, independent, fulfilled lives that it's supposed to do. But increasingly, what we're seeing is underinvestment. We're seeing not enough care workers available. We're seeing not enough training for care workers. We're also seeing that before you get care at home, you have to have been assessed as your care needs being critical. I mean, that's a desperate state of affairs. And good care providers are not able to compete fairly in a market where they're being undercut by the less good providers who would exploit the workers, not provide the adequate training, and not pay proper mileage between their jobs.
Is it worse now than, say, it was a year ago?
Yes, I think it is.
In what way?
I think more and more older people are being denied care until their needs are assessed as critical. There is an increasing number of short visits, short intervals of care being provided under 15 minutes, and certainly difficulties in recruiting and retaining staff.
What can you do in 15 minutes? I've often wondered this.
And I think it's a fair question. If you imagine going to somebody's home who needs care, by the time you've introduced yourself and you've had a little chat and you've put somebody at their ease, it's not possible to provide intimate personal care for somebody in 15 minutes. It's just not possible. There are a very limited number of occasions where a safe and well check, or somebody maybe who needs eye drops among a number of other interventions, it may be possible for a 15-minute call to be appropriate. But it needs to be very, very rare and based entirely on the needs of the older person. Because, no, Stephen, you are absolutely right, and I hear it from older people again and again and again. Building up relationships with care workers, that little bit of conversation, time for dignity and respect, has to be built into those care visits.
You tried to get a meeting with the Health Minister, Simon Hamilton.
And unfortunately, the day the meeting was arranged for, he was not in office.
Have you met him at all since
No.
he got the job?
No, I haven't met the current Minister for Health.
Why not?
Because he has not yet been available to me. He was available for a meeting and then unfortunately out of office, and that meeting has not yet been rearranged.
So you represent, I know this is your last day, but you represent elderly people in Northern Ireland. You're the Older Persons Commissioner and the Health Minister hasn't met you.
I am the independent champion with a statutory duty, a legal duty, to safeguard and promote the interests of older people. And no, it has not yet been possible to meet the current Health Minister.
What do you make of that?
I make of it, I suppose, very clearly that government needs to prioritise older people more. Get their heads together, whatever it is they need to sort out, and just deal with it and be decisive and move swiftly on to what really matters every day to real older people, today's and tomorrow's older people. They need certainty that the quality of care will be right, that it will be available to them when they need it. And our politicians have the opportunity to deliver excellence in this regard. They all agree that they want better for old people. They need to roll up their sleeves, sharpen their pencils, commission the health economist, get the specialist advice that they need to plan high-quality service, work out how much investment is required, and then prioritise it.
I was thinking last night when I was on my way home, I was thinking, do you know what? There hasn't been any graduated response to waiting lists going up. There hasn't been a graduated response now to elderly home care services, according to you being on breaking point. There haven't been mass protests over people sitting on these waiting lists, or indeed elderly care being elderly people being without the care that they deserve. You sometimes start to wonder what the priorities are for our politicians inside their own heads in Northern Ireland? That what exercises them? What actually drives them to get angry and get passionate?
And I think above and beyond what drives them to get angry and passionate, I think we know what drives them to get angry and passionate. What we need to know is what drives them to be decisive and take action. And that's what's needed. And it is confidence that they have the right, the decision-making authority and the power and the responsibility to look at what is needed, to make concrete decisions about it, and then insist that it takes place. It's not beyond our imagination or our understanding to be able to look at the numbers of older people who need care, to look at the high-quality standards, particularly with a focus on care for people who live with dementia, to set a proper rate of pay for care workers wherever they're employed and make sure they're fairly treated and have the training that they need, and then work out how much that costs, put that to the whole executive and prioritise.
You've been very critical this morning. Have you had any plans? Have you come up with any ideas?
My ideas are about what it is that needs to be done in terms of regional commissioning, in terms of the rates of pay that need to be paid, the training and the standards. It is absolutely, Stephen, the responsibility then of government to undertake that planning.
Yeah, but a lot of this comes down to money, and the NHS across the UK is being stretched. We've got an older population which is living longer, that's good, but it's stretching the NHS.
It's true. I mean, there will be a cost to investing more in home care that really meets the needs of older people. But the rights of older people to dignity and independence demand that the cost is met, and government must prioritise that spend. But, of course, in addition, there's a financial cost of not meeting older people's home care needs. Because if they don't get the care that they need at home, that little bit of extra help, that support to live independently, they will need more residential and acute care, and those costs are higher.
Let's have a listen.
There's a cost either way.
Let's have a listen to James and Lurgan. Morning, James.
The reason why I phoned in is that I would like to know the answer to two questions, if at all possible. First one, to the RQIA to find out what staff are actually being sent to people that aren't adequately trained. I listened earlier on the Good Morning Ulster, and they were basically saying that this is becoming more prevalent. The second question then would be in terms of the health trust. And the people there, could they answer the question, how many people, customers or patients or whatever way you would categorise it, how many people have been downgraded to 15-minute slots from, say, 30-minute slots, etc.? Those figures would be interesting to put in the public domain.
And what are you involved? Do you have someone that needs care?
No, but I've had friends who actually do get healthcare trusts, that sort of provision. And I've noticed over the last couple of years that he's been downgraded, for example, from a 30-minute to a 15-minute slot, and yet nothing else has changed. No, his needs have remained the same.
Does that reflect, Claire Keating, some of your findings? Do you know how many people have been downgraded? We'll put a question in this morning, how many people have been downgraded?
I can't tell you exactly how many. That information hasn't been available to me. And I would encourage the government and the Department of Health, when they commission their research, to look very clearly at what it is people really need against standards of excellence. But I do hear without question that more and more 15-minute care slots are being commissioned by Health and Social Care Trusts. And I don't believe that it's possible to provide high-quality personal intimate care in 15 minutes.
We will ask them this morning. We'll get on to them right now. We'll speak to the former Health Minister, Mike McGimsey, in 2 seconds. Patrick and Lurgan. Morning, Patrick.
Hello, Stephen. How are you doing?
Go ahead, Patrick.
I just want to say my mother's terminally ill. She's 88. She doesn't get DLA. She's 88. She's terminally ill. She's vascular dementia, Parkinson's, COPD, heart failure, ulcerated legs, cancer in her right leg, and cancer in her face and gallstones. She takes UTAs and TAAs, which is many strokes, and urine infections. But I'm a full-time care, morning, noon and night, Monday to Monday, non-stop.
And she doesn't get care?
Doesn't get DLA.
Doesn't get DLA?
No. The cut-off for DLA is 65 years of age. So anything you take after that, you have to handle it yourself. Doesn't you get mobility or nothing?
She must get home care packages, though.
She gets home care in the mornings. I do the rest, morning, noon and night after that.
How long are her...
I do her SpO2 on her finger every morning and her blood pressure and her temperature.
How long are her care packages?
I'd say about 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Is it enough?
It's... To be honest, Stephen, no harm to the home care people coming into your house. You need to lift the black cloud from the government to wake them up. for the cures in general. You get £60 a week for looking after somebody or a member of your family. And no matter if you had looked after 10 people in your household, you get money, £60 a week. Now, it's my family I'm talking about, you know, but it's not nothing to do with the money, really, but the government's actually ripping you off.
And you think about the job that you're doing, your mother, clearly, my goodness, those illnesses you spelt out there, shocking. If your mother was in hospital, it would be costing a lot more.
Yes, but I also do her SpO2 and her the oxygen levels in her blood every morning on her finger. I was down the phone line to Belfast, and it's monitored, and I do her temperature and her blood pressure. Now, I'm not a qualified doctor, but they've come out and showed me how to work the system for it, you know, but, you know, I may as well be a full-time nurse, and I'm getting £60 a week.
Thank you for talking to us today.
Thanks very much, Steve. Thanks.
Morning to you. Michael McGimsey, former health minister. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Steve.
Home care was supposed to be at the centre of a new modern NHS for Northern Ireland. Here we have Claire Keating telling us it's a breaking point.
I think absolutely. And Claire is very eloquent in stating the position as it is. And I think clearly the issue is very much about the investment that's going in there and the money that they're trying to save. I think clearly, as you're aware, and the people you're talking to, carers are essential to our elderly population, vulnerable adults living at home and being cared for at home. And unless you value carers and unless you give them the support that they require, then the service that they provide to their clients falls down and gaps appear. And that's what we're seeing now, and we've been seeing that now for some time, serious gaps. And the result of that is that patients suffer. One of the reasons why we try to look after patients, people in their own homes, is because, frankly, they do better. They're liable to do better, they're liable to be happier, and they're liable, therefore, to live longer. And I think that's one of the reasons why. But you need to invest to do that. It's better for patients. It's not a cost-saving exercise. It's because the patient outcome is better. But those patients, the care for patients...
But Michael, this is a big issue for us all, not just for Stormont, for us all as a community in Northern Ireland, because the NHS is a bottomless pit in terms of money. And it could use more money right into infinity, couldn't it?
Well, I mean, I don't agree with you saying it's a bottomless pit.
It's a bottomless pit in terms of the amount of money that it needs, isn't it?
I don't agree with that either. It's finite.
Do you not?
It is a finite, you can determine year by year what the health service needs, what social care needs. You can work out the number of patients that are liable to be coming to you, and you work out the resource that requires.
The point I'm trying to make is you could always spend more. The NHS could always spend more money. So what are we going to do? Where are we going to find the phenomenal amounts of money that the NHS needs to cope with an ever-increasing demand?
Well, we had this argument, Stephen, you'll recall, and I discussed it with you many times, in 2011, when the executive set a budget that created huge in-year pressures for the health service. And I explained at that time that we're talking around $200 million per annum was the extra that we needed to keep the health service stable. And the executive perversely voted through a budget that was less than that. And the consequence of that has been that we've been running on a diminishing resource ever since, and the pressures keep building and building and building. And these pressures will continue to build unless we address them. First thing you've got to do is you've got to stop the pressure building. You've got to address the demand as it stands, make sure things are not getting any worse. I'm talking not just about care in the community. I'm talking about waiting times, spiralling waiting lists. We're talking about the demands on the drugs budget and so on. But, I mean, we've got to stop that. And then after that, you look at hitting the backlog. Now, we're in the same situation, roughly, as we were in 2006-07. And I inherited a situation not dissimilar to where we are now, but what it required was major investment into backlog and major investment into dealing with the situation to stop it getting any worse, get stability into the system. The system, of course, has to change. There has to be hard decisions made about the system. But the first thing you have to do is stop this getting worse, stop this deterioration. And we're not talking about bottomless pits. We're not talking about infinite amounts of money. What we're talking about in 2011, the budget was $4.5 billion, a lot less than half of what the executive had to spend.
So question this for the whole executive, and your party, of course, walked out of it.
Well, my party within the opposition, not least because it's the defiance we're getting in Stormont. When you raise these issues, it's basically like you get a defiance about health, and it's not just about health, but other areas too. Education, when you raise issues about education, it's simple defiance towards parties who are not involved with health. I'm not in the health minister anymore. My party doesn't have control of the health sector. If it had, I can assure you, it wouldn't be in the mess we're in. But the health minister just simply defies it. And you see that over the last number of weeks. Simon Hamilton just walked off the job. The Clare Keating, the older people commissioner, couldn't get the chance to even talk to him, to explain to him the situation, the position for a large number of our elderly population being looked after in their own homes through care provision. So it's that type of defiance, and I think there is clearly a system problem at Stormont, and that is a series of silos by department, and ministers can basically defy the Assembly and defy the will of the Assembly.